And good morning to you on the other side of the camera here from Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. We need to do something here this morning. I'm feeling that we need to talk to one another here in the service. Now, you all there, just hold on for a second. Here's what I want to do. I want this side to look at that side and go, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll try it again. I want this side to look at that side and say, good morning.
Good morning.
I want this side to say, how y'all doing?
How y'all doing?
Great.
And wait a minute, I'll tell you what to say. Now you say, we are all right.
We are all right.
Now I want this side to say, great.
Great.
Let's have biscuits and gravy. Now then, good morning out there to all you all. Our scripture lesson today comes Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And while you're looking that up, I'm reminded that a state trooper pulled over a car with a group of seasoned women in it. Notice I didn't say older, elderly, although I just did right now. Pulled over a car with a group of seasoned women in it. And the woman driving the car was incredulous. She said, officer, why? Why are you pulling us over? We're behaving ourselves. We're doing what we're supposed to. The officer says, ma'am, it's a good day to see you. I just wanted to let you know that you're going too far under the speed limit. She said, but we're going 22 miles an hour. He said, ma'am, that is the route number, not the speed limit. And she got all embarrassed. She said, oh my goodness. And the officer's looking in the car at the two women in the front seat with her that are shaking and pale and just sweating profusely. And he said, what's wrong with those two women? And the lady driving the car said, well, you should have seen them when we was over on Route 113. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. May God add his blessings to this passage. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that as we gather here today, these words that are coming from me are not mine, they are from you. They are strengthening. They are hopeful. They are giving. They are leading. They are guiding. They are directing. They are rebuking. They are counseling. They are helpful, hopeful, and done with love, Father. Let these words lift us up today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Now, I know sometimes I might get stuck on something. And I know that it's everything around me on any given moment during the day that affects what I'm coming toward on Sunday morning. Now, sometimes it might take 3 or 4 weeks before it finally snaps into existence. And sometimes it's instant. And this week is no different. And as you all well know, a lot of what I see on a day affects me. I don't know whether it's a divination, and I won't go that far, but the things around me always seem to be talking sermon, 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 sermon. And as you all well know, I am working some large projects with Ballmer Gas and Electric. In 1887, at North Point, at a little jutty called Sparrows Point, Bethlehem Steel decided to build a steel plant because, as we well know, America was being built then and it was being great and all of this was coming forth, and Bethlehem Steel Corporation had been inland and saw the need to start a shipbuilding leg, and this was perfect for it. And so in 1887, they started making steel there and centered mostly on boats. Maryland Steel built tugs, coastal passenger ships, dredges, cargo ships, destroyers. It serviced and repaired them. And one famous vessel built at Bethlehem Steel, its first point, was the Ancon, launched as Chamois, which in 1914 was the first ship, to cross the Panama Canal. Came right there out of Maryland. They had a graving dock, a floating dock, outfitting piers, nearly 3,000 feet of berthing space. This facility sat on 3,250 acres of ground. But in 1997, as times changed, the buildings were sold out, the place was sold out, and a New York investment firm bought it and installed a $300 cold rolling mill to try to reinvigorate it. They had a promise of contracts and construction and dismantling of ships and building cruise liners, but the contracts never came to be, and Bethlehem Steel collapsed in 2003 in bankruptcy. And by 2012, after several sales, it ceased to exist. I joined part of this project in 2017, in which they decided, what are we going to do with this ground? We've got this large facility here, and I worked in Bethlehem Steel working on some electric stuff. We would go in there every now and then, and the place was just, well, it was a playground for me. There was just too much there to get me in trouble. And now I sit here watching as they tear it down. And in 2017, I began to help as the new alliance called Trade Point Atlantic formed out of there. And now they're building monster warehouses for Home Depot, Lowe's, and Under Armour, and Amazon, and all this stuff. There's going to be hotels and restaurants and condos, and they're going to work on boats again, and they're making deep water. And so to do this, they have to remove the old to prepare for the new. And it's chaos. At any given moment, there are thousands of people down there doing thousands of different things. Not to mention the fact that some of these warehouses are now built and in operation. It's a crazy place. It is a world unto its own. I began there with these eyes like this. What are they breaking up that I can bring home and display to my wife? And I have brought a couple of things home. I even have the sign, if you must know. I asked them, and I got this look. Are you ready? I'd like to have this sign. And the man in charge of the whole facility down there, everything, the head hog at the trough, looked at me and went, what? That sign? Yes, I want it for my shop. It's a sign. You see, in the old days of Bethlehem Steel, they had a parking lot on one side of the road that housed 1,000 cars. And in order to get into the plant, they had to walk through these two openings in the ground, down steps, underneath the railroad and the main roads, and through a lot, and come back up where they would be safely escorted in to go to work. And at the top of these things, these great big signs that says, and you're going to laugh when you hear this, you are now entering a safe workspace. Used here are safety shoes, glasses, pants, and there's something else. Work safely. And I wanted that sign that hung up over top of that so I could hang it in my shop, because everybody knows how safely I work in my shop. I brought that home and Wendy went, that ain't going in the house. But little she don't know. Every morning, my detailed work life is as follows. Sometime between 3:45 and 4 o'clock a.m. after the alarm has gone off, I get up and start getting cleaned up to go to work. Go down, pack my lunch, get ready to rock out. Head out on the road. By 4:30, 4:45, I'm on my way to Baltimore. Sometime around 10 minutes to 6, I arrive at one of the job sites I have to set up and start waiting on crews to get there and get to work, and I'm at it by 6 o'clock in the morning. Everything is pretty routine. This past week, something hit me. One of the areas that we're working on, the area is called Project Raven, and each of them have a name until the business gets built. But what's going on in this, McCormick Spices is building a large factory to make those spices. And when I say large, right now the estimated that we think, the building is going to cover 100 acres. It's monstrous. And every day when we go down there, there's all this noise and chaos and dirt and destruction. But on Wednesday morning this past week, when I got down there, because I decided to start my day out there, I drive back through the back of the site. And when I say I drive back 3/4 of a mile back to where we're working to rehab a gas line. And there's two trees back there, two big old trees that haven't been disturbed yet. And they provide shade. And I always like to pull around and back up in the shade and sit there and start my morning routine, look at my paperwork, go through my notes, and get ready for the day ahead. And it's usually loud and obnoxious. But I rolled in there that morning at about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I backed up and I put the window down and I set my computer up in the car. And suddenly the quiet was everywhere. Whoa. I put all the windows down in the car. I put my seat back and kind of sat there for a moment. Off in the distance, I could hear a ship's horn blowing out on the Patuxent River headed up toward the inner harbor. Above me are ospreys feeding their young, and they're carrying on, making a tremendous racket. Over here, I could hear the leaves blowing in the bushes over to my right. And there in the middle of all of this, in just one short hour, will be just dust, dirt, noise, and absolute controlled chaos was this incredible peace, this quietness. In the quiet, I began to contemplate on Jesus Christ. And I know that some people be like, really, Paul? Yeah, really. Yeah. You mean to tell me you didn't stop for a moment and flick open a web page or look at your phone and see what's for sale? No. It was so strong. It was so powerful. It was so pervasive. I began to dwell on who Jesus Christ was, is, and will be, and what we have in Him. Because you see, at 7:30 will be the parade of equipment. The contractor working it every day has a big yard where all the equipment during the day goes back to the yard. And during that time, they have a safety meeting, and they get together and they talk. And then off in the distance, maybe 400 or 500 yards out, after the safety talk, all the equipment, track hose, bulldozers, big dump trucks, cars, trucks, little ATVs, people just moving a parade out to the job site to go to work. But during that moment, there was no sound other than the quiet. I began to think of what Jesus wanted in our lives. He laid it out. Listen, there's going to be times of tribulation. There's going to be times of trouble. There's going to be all of this. But I am here. And I am giving you something to get away from all of that. Now, am I going to sit here and go, I heard him speaking to me and I felt God saying, Paul, what's going on? First of all, if that ever happened in my car, the door that's on the side of my car would become an automatic opening door. If God suddenly started talking to me, I'd go through it because that would scare me to no end. It takes me back in time, back in the 70s, and I cannot for the life of me remember the man that did it, but back in the 70s was a popular tune, a spoken tune called A Phone Call from God. Does anybody ever remember that? The phone was ringing and he's recording that and he goes, you want me to answer the phone? And he picks up the phone and he goes, hello, who is it? God. And it starts a conversation that scares him right to his core. I couldn't get over this feeling, this sense of peace that comes from simply knowing who Jesus Christ is and being available to profess it. I said a little prayer at that moment. I just wanted to thank you. I feel that we get so wrapped up in the aggravation of this world, we forget for a moment to stop and be in the quiet. Paul, writing to the letter to Philippians, is giving us something to think about. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it was related to me. I should start speaking on the end times. Why? And I asked that question of the person that said, maybe you should talk about it a little bit. Okay, why? Well, because we're scared. Why? We all know the story, right? At some point, the trumpet's going to sound, we're out. But people are getting worried. And they're looking around at this world and they're getting scared. And in that moment, in the quiet, it became very real to me. We're going to go to heaven one day. We've been saved. Paul's writing these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. I will say it again, rejoice. We sing that song in around, and we never quite ever get it right, do we? Rejoice in the Lord always. And those people over there are looking at this side going, where am I supposed to be? And pretty soon the whole church winds up singing it. And it's beautiful because it makes me laugh. And everybody's trying to keep up. Rejoice in it. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. I got it. I'm supposed to be. And there's always somebody at the end going, rejoice always. Oh, we're done. What side was I on again? What team was I? We sing that song, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul's writing these words. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, he's explaining to us, stop worrying. Let it be clear when you speak of your knowledge, love, and desire of Jesus Christ that you are that person. Don't walk around ringing that bell all the time. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything. Anything. 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 But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Give it to Him. That's what He told us to do. That death on that cross sealed our love with Jesus Christ. That death on that cross proved once and for all that God is with us. That death on that cross of His Son gave us the right to go to the Lord in petition and say, please help me, I am lost. And then stop for a moment and be in the quiet. Paul writes on, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. All understanding. All of it. I don't understand, Paul. Why? I don't know. Why does this happen? I don't know. Well, you're supposed to know. You're the pastor. I got news for you. I still fight at a restaurant over which fork I'm supposed to use when I'm eating a salad. You understand? I use the same fork the whole way, the little one. And I always get frustrated because I'm like, how am I supposed to eat steak with this little thing? And my wife, whom I love, goes, hey, there's other forks there. Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't ask me these questions because I don't know. Nor am I allowed to know. Here's what I do know. That there is peace unending in Jesus Christ. And it passes what we can understand. We just ask for it. Why did this person pass away? I don't know. Why did this happen to this child? I don't know. Why is this going on? I don't know. All I know is I need to be in the quiet every so often praying to God to reset me. That's what I wanted. That's what I felt. That's what I did. That's what we need.
That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, just pray. We are not guaranteed an easy walk. I've told you all about my favorite bumper sticker from the 70s, right? God didn't promise a smooth flight, just a safe landing. That's all he gives us. We know where we're coming in. And the weather will be clear, the plane will land, and everything will be fine. Getting there sometimes is going to be difficult. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, think and dwell in the quiet on Jesus Christ. Noble, true, praiseworthy. He's a Boy Scout, isn't he? I bet you he's an Eagle Scout. What do you think? He probably got like a band on his band about that wide with all his merit badges. Paul is saying, dwell in the quiet with Jesus Christ. If but for 5 minutes every day, let him fill your heart with peace and accept it. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot of discussion right now about the entire book, chapter, whatever, of Matthew 24. I'm hearing it more and more. Discussions on the end times. Well, the world's going to end like this. The sun's going to blow up and we're all going to be burnt to a crisp. All right, well, that's one thought. Or one day the world's just going to turn off. Boop. The lava and the volcanoes from the center of the earth are going to come up and smother out life, just like it did at Pompeii. Okay, that's another theory. You can pray to rocks and you can get more out of that than praying to something up in the heaven. Some old man sitting on a chair somewhere is deciding your fate. Okay, if that's what you want. And yet the book, the Bible, gives us clear-cut truth. He's coming back. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42. And this is where you can be in the quiet. Matter of fact, I'll wait. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Go ahead and get your Bibles tuned over to it. That means you all at home too. And don't think I can't see you. Therefore, the old words, keep watch. Stop. That translated means in the quiet. Be still. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That is a strictly true, complete, concrete statement. Nobody knows. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It's very simple. Be in the quiet. Be contemplating Jesus Christ. The noble truth, the goodness, the beauty, the loveliness, everything that is admirable about him. Be contemplating him and let the people around you know the truth. Don't beat them over the head with it. Philippians says, be gentle with it. You're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. No, that's not your job. Your job is to look at someone who is lost and struggling and go, I love you. May I pray with you? May I love on you a little bit? May I talk to you about Jesus? And if they don't want to hear it, doesn't matter. You have put something in their mind that at some point, somewhere, somehow, perhaps, if God allows it, they're going to come back and talk to you. I've had it happen. And it's a heavy feeling. I would term it, and my wife has been making fun of me because for some reason this vernacular has wound its way back into my speech again. I would say it's groovy, man. See, why are you all laughing? I didn't say it's far out, although I've been saying that too. It is. Imagine that. You witness to someone and you don't think they got through. 6 months, a year, 5 minutes later, 15 minutes later, I don't know. You come back and you say, hey, tell me more about this. Groovy, man. It works for me. Don't try it. You're not licensed. He's saying that in order to find the peace that passes all understanding, Jesus is saying right here in Matthew, in the middle of Matthew 24, which is describing the end times, he's saying, be quiet. Dwell with me. Rest in me. Find peace in me. Reader's Digest had an excerpt said, the word Maranatha is a Syriac expression that means our Lord comes. I didn't know that. It was used as a greeting in the early church. Many believers gathered or parted. They didn't say hello or goodbye, but Maranatha. If we had the same upward look today, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people had a deepening awareness of the imminent return of our Savior. While on a South Pole expedition, the British explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton, left a few men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return. That's pretty serious right there. I'm going to leave you at the South Pole, but I'll be back. I think I would have had a problem with him. I'd have been like, oh, no. You're taking me with you now. Later, when he tried to go back, huge icebergs blocked the way. But suddenly, as if by miracle, an avenue opened up in the ice, and Shackleton was able to get through. His men on Elephant Island he had left behind, found ready, waiting, quickly scrambled aboard. No sooner than the ship had cleared the island than the ice crashed together behind them, blocking off the path, and had the boat been there, it would have crushed it. Contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer said to his men, it was fortunate you all was packed and ready to go. They replied, we never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded each other, the boss is going to come today. The hymn writer Horatius Bonar exhorted us to be ready for the last moment by being ready at every moment, so attending to every duty that let him come when he may. He finds his house in perfect order, awaiting his return. The trump may sound at any time. How important it is for us Christians to be, quote, packed and ready to go. As we leave home today, don't say goodbye, say Maranatha. That's the peace that I got when I was in the quiet on Wednesday. I started to really get lost in it for a moment. I got to tell you, in case you haven't figured it out yet, your pastor is quite a weirdo. You can say amen. Amen. All right, all of you that said amen are off my Christmas card list now. I started to think about it. And I got welled up. I'm sitting here in all of this beauty. In a place that was left. The building is where the blast furnace were. It was a torrent of fire and smoke. And now the building's gone. And before all this other stuff happens, is this moment of beauty. In a place where there was chaos, there's now quiet. And I began to think, would this be the moment I hear that trumpet? And I get to go home. I get to see my grandparents. I get to see my mother. Maybe on the way up, I'd look over and there'd be my wife coming with me. We'd reach out and hold hands. My children. My friends. My loved ones. Maybe this is that moment. Quiet enough to think about it. How many of you think about that moment truthfully? It's going to happen. But not going to happen like that. See, here's where I am with all of this. In the quiet, I simply want us to start reflecting again on Jesus. Take a couple minutes and reflect on that piece. No big production, no song and dance routine. No anything. No pie in the sky. No none of that stuff. Just sit there for a moment and think about the man that died there that is sitting and waiting for the word. knowing He's coming back, put me in the quiet and gave me peace. Faye Inchfawn, who lived a generation ago, she was a rural farm wife. She was a farmer's wife. She wrote these lines on the need, and I think I've read this once before. Maybe it's been a while, judging by the looks on your faces. She wrote these words about the expectancy of God's presence, which speak to us among the more sophisticated frustrations of our day. Now, these words were written 100 years ago, and how much more have the sophisticated frustrations of our day come to be a part of our life? Anybody here got a cell phone? Sometimes when everything goes wrong, when days are short and nights are long, when wash day brings so dull a sky that not a single thing will ever dry, when the kitchen chimney smokes and there's none so old as folks, when friends deplore my faded youth, when the baby cuts a brand new tooth, while John, the baby, the last one, clings around on my skirt until the day is done, and fat, good-natured Jane is glum, and the butcher man forgets to come, sometimes I say on days like these, I get a sudden gleam of bliss. Not on some sunny day of ease he'll come, but on a day of work just like this. It's very simple. Maybe this is a fluff sermon. Maybe this is a fluff piece I've worked up. Maybe I'm being gentle. I want to be, because I want you to be in the quiet with me. I want you to turn off everything for a moment and not get so worked up about what's going on outside that door. I want you to listen to these words. The psalmist writes these words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A widely respected man taught us about knowing that Jesus is in control. He is with the Father, watching, loving, quietly being attentive to us. To us. Our King to us. And He wants to let us know that in the quiet He resides. An old fella named as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the age of 120. And perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to a cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day at work, while he was in his garden singing songs of praise to God, and I got to tell you, I had to mow grass yesterday. I hadn't mowed it for a little while because I got busy with 1,000 other things. So I was actually mowing a hay field. And I was on my, as you all well know, my new zero-turn mower, which ain't so new anymore. It mows the grass way too fast for me because it was the 2 hours I got to go out and be alone. Well, the grass was tall enough I had to slow down. And I was singing hymns while mowing the grass. Heaven forbid, had you come by and heard me, you'd have been, that's it. Somebody get him that jacket that ties in the back. I was riding through the grass singing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing, I'm not kidding. Bringing in the sheaves. He shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And then I got done that. And what did I sing? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And I'm whirling around my yard singing hymns. And I'm having a ball. And then suddenly, I was done mowing again. One day at work, while he was in his garden singing praise to God, his pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and called, "Uncle Johnson, you sure do seem happy today." He said, "Yes, sir. I was just thinking," said the old man. "Thinking about what?" asked his pastor. "Oh, I was just thinking, if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like? I tell you, sir, there'll be enough up there for everyone to spare in the quiet." Even on that mower yesterday, I was in the quiet, singing, thinking, the beauty, the glory, the pollen. So that's your work this week. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to pick a moment. I don't care where, when, how, where. You don't have to call me. You don't have to tell me. I want you to pick a moment and be in the quiet. I want you to hear those words. Be still and know that I am God. Be with me in the quiet. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the grace, the peace, everything that surpasses our feeble understanding. Father, I pray that each and every one of us are touched today by this message and walk away from here stronger for it. I pray, Father, that we will find our own peace, that we will find that point of in the quiet where we will reflect, love, and be with Jesus Christ. And that we will be gentle with those around us. And yes, there is so much time and toil and tribulation, and God has already laid it out. You have seen it through us. You have given it to us. Jesus said, just be ready. Let us just find ourselves less anxious and more at peace. Let us just find ourselves in that quiet, praying, loving, thanking you. Father, I pray this for all of everyone hearing these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.